Hello, welcome to True Hoop with me, Gerard Hector, and Coach David Thorpe. How are you, sir?
Tired, but well. How are you?
Good. You had a fun weekend. I alluded to it on last Thursday's show. David and his family were in Tallahassee, Florida for his son Max's senior night with the Florida State University basketball team. For those of you who know, Max plays for them, and this is the end for Max, senior year. He's going to be going on to bigger and better things. And I joked with you on the show. I said, you won't cry now. You'll probably cry on Sunday. Did you cry on Sunday?
Not on Saturday. Yeah. No. Listen, there's a couple of things. First of all, he has another year of eligibility because he redshirted his first year. I think he's done. Only because I think if he wasn't, I think he would say, Dad, I think I'm going to stay. He's not saying that. He's just, let's wait till the season to be over. Which could be early as Wednesday when they play their ACC tournament game. I got a little emotional a few times, only seeing my wife get emotional, my daughter. He's not leaving basketball. So whether he's playing at Florida State or he's coaching somewhere, I even said this to my family. I told my wife on the drive there and back, this would be the most relaxed you're ever going to be for the rest of his career. Because as a coach, it's a lot more nerve-wracking. You get fired when you lose. Or when you're the assistant coach, when the head coach gets fired. Mm-hmm. If he wins, you get a raise. Right. There's way more. I said, honey, you're not going to be on your phone anymore. You're going to be into these games. And yeah. I'm not looking forward to that stress at all. It was emotional, though, just in talking to some of the coaches who came by to see us, not including at the game. And some of the players came over. It's nice to know my son has had an impact on their lives and has done really good things. So it's the end of a chapter, not the end of a book, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And the one thing I did tell him is, don't get fucking fat. He looks incredible. He's the heaviest he's ever been. He's just gotten stronger. And 6'3", 183 is not fat. He looks I bet he has a 32-inch waist. He's a very lean, cut guy. But your body doesn't always cooperate, as you know. I remember being 22 and super thin. And then I started coaching. And next thing I know, like, why are my shorts tight? I've never had that in my entire life. I burned 1,000 calories a day hooping. And so I think he's going to stay pretty committed to everything. But you got to work out every day. So. He said, I'll play more basketball than ever whenever I retire because it won't be work. It'll be fun. And and he's going to be training guys all the time.
I was going to get to that point next. Yeah. There is a strong chance that, he joins dad in the business and he takes over the business when dad eventually stops.
That's what his mom wants. I think his mom just wants me to start working so hard. So that's between you and me and whoever's listening to this.
But he's also, he's not ready to take over that full time from you yet. That's got to be a gradual process. No,
and he's going to have coaching options, and he's always wanted to run an NBA team. More recently, he's been coaching has really caught the bug. I know the feeling. I did too. he likes, I talked to him early Sunday morning, and I said, what are you doing awake already? He's like, what do you mean? Going to the gym. I got some players. Like, he's already kind of taken on that role as a coach. So, in fact, on Saturday morning, which was game day, he was saying goodbye to me. And one of the head GA was with us, who's 39 years old. And he just went back to get his master's and help with the college team. And he's like, I'll see you tomorrow morning, coach. And the coach said, what time will you be there? I said, I got 8 o'clock. And the coach said, what do you mean? He said, who are you working out at 8 o'clock? And he told him, he's like, I got him at 9. He's like, I'm getting him ready for you. And so he's invested in that kind of stuff already.
Yeah.
I would love for it. He did say to me one day it would be a dream to run my business. I don't have that dream, but he gets to have his own dream. And his mom gets to have her own dream. And Max Butchews ultimately. So the most important thing is he's a loving, decent young man. And he's got a great twin sister and a great mom, a loving dad. Lots of friends and family supporting my sister. Two of my sister-in-laws were there. And it's a thoughtful, thoughtful person. And if he wants to be a coach, he's going to be a great one, Gerard. He really is. And I'll do whatever I can to help him.
Well, you know, and that's, you know, we talk about it on this show all the time, and being your son, although, you know, it's just because he's your son doesn't mean it had to work out that way. But right. No doubt you did your part to instill, you and Chrissy did your parts to instill in him kindness and decency and all of those things. But, you know, that's not a guarantee that it works out, right?
Nope.
People make up their own mind and do their own thing.
Yep.
But should he decide to go into coaching and do this, this is that, besides X's and O's, this is that competitive advantage he could have, right? The idea that you always say, these coaches don't love up on their guys enough and don't breathe enough spirit into them. And this is why, frankly, they're not good, right? But Max may have a huge leg up in that regard.
It's a real, we were talking about this morning on our content call. It's a really interesting and scary time for coaches. You've got, and this is at all levels, by the way. The NBA has got more money than ever to pay these guys. That's a challenge. How do I coach a player who's making so much money? As much as coaches are making, some of these players are making much more. In college, you've got NIL. In high school, you've got the dream. It's not just a scholarship anymore. It's actually, I can help feed my family by playing in college. And so there's pressure on you as a high school coach or AAU coach, as I think there should be. And so we can easily get lost in the weeds here, Gerard, of getting caught up in the business of the game and not the personal part of it. And I think that really matters. And so his natural inclination, I think being a twin helps, he's just a people person. And I think he connects with people in a special way. He's incredibly self-deprecating. My dumbass son is a very, very handsome kid. I don't know if he'll grow up that way. He's that way now. People change as they get older. Trust me. My wife has often said she wouldn't have dated me when I was 20 years old. but he is growing some facial hair. I asked him to shave, not clean shaven, but just clean it up, bro. You can't really grow anything. For your mom, get a haircut too. So, but meanwhile, on his mustache, one side is much darker than the other. I'm like, what the fuck happened to you? And he laughs about it. He's like, well, I got like a phone call or something when he did something. And so he, instead of just cleaning it all up evenly, this stupid guy didn't do anything. And so it looks like you can grow hair on one side. That's not the case. He doesn't care. He knows it'll grow out eventually. That dude's not sweating anything. That's going to change a little bit. You're going to start being more attentive to details. That's the privilege of being young and stupid, right? I love that about him, though. I think it's going to serve him well. Players want to know you can be vulnerable too and admit. Like, there's a really good college coach, I won't go into who he is, who's very good at saying to his players, I fucked up. I'm sorry. Let's get better at this, but it's on me. Players gravitate to that. I think Max will be really good at that, just admitting. I try to tell players I don't see it. I'd love to help you right now. I'm going to keep doing what I can do. I don't see the answer yet. Let me just keep plugging away. I think they appreciate that, because when I'm confident, honestly, I'm confident. If I know it, I'm happy to say I see this. But I'm just as willing to say I don't see it yet. Give me time. And I think players are so used to being hustled by men. Confidence men is what they're doing. They're trying to gain your confidence when they're faking it. They've been hustled. My son's not going to be a hustler. I can tell you that. He'll hustle in terms of trying to work hard. You want to be hustling people.
Yeah. Well, congrats to Max Thorup. And, you know, we're all excited to see what he does next and where he'll be next in the journey. All right, David, we got about 19, 20 games or so left in the regular season. So the rest of March and then, you know, first like 7 days of April or so. And, you know, I started the title of this segment, Who's Ready for the Playoffs? And you told me off air, nobody. Yeah. because we got some time still, but you know, I'm kind of trending out to see, okay, who's kind of starting to 8 of their last 10, 7 of their last 10, who's 4 of their last 10, not looking great. And this matters for seeding, right? Because no one except for Boston pretty much is going to be locked into where they're seated. They're 8 games up. It's going to take some catastrophic thing for them to drop out of the one.
Let's hope. Nothing
barring injury. Right. Yeah. That's always the caveat. Anybody could twist an ankle, whatever, and then all bets are off.
Yep.
But assuming injuries, moving that aside for now, you know, everybody else is kind of fighting for seeding right now. And so I was like, oh, let's see who's playing well and who is and who isn't. And what do you like? What are you not liking from teams that you're seeing? So I got about 10 teams we're going to go through here and we're going to discuss. You know,
I'm going to throw in an 11th team.
Ooh, Dave, I think I might know who the 11th team is.
Take a guess. All right. We can start with them. Yes.
I knew it because I was like, I'm sorry, put the Pelicans in. All right, let's start with the Pelicans. They are currently 39-25. They are fifth in the West, and they are 7-3 in their last 10, winners of four straight.
So I don't look at 10-game segments. I look at 6-game segments typically. It's about, you know, almost 2 weeks typically for most of these teams. Mm-hmm. So you want to guess where they are offensively? It's not one. Where they are the last 6 games offensively?
Fifth.
Two. Okay, mm-hmm. Second. You want to guess where they are defensively?
Third.
First.
Woo!
So 5-1. I just saw a stat. Zion's blocked 7 shots the last 3 games. That's never happened before in his career. He's playing good, not amazing. Mm-hmm. Ingram's playing well. It seems like everyone's playing well, I think is a theme. They're talking. That's the one team. I'm not saying ready for the playoffs because it's just too far away. 5 weeks is so long still. But 5-1 the last 6, beating up teams, winning some big road games. That team is kind of gelling. And Zion is the Godzilla that you know, he's the Titan that
yes.
isn't yet being a Titan, but he has been in the past, like including last year. So they've still got some potential. Trey Murphy's young. Alvarado's young. Valanciunas has not played well lately, but I think he's accountable. CJ's not played well lately, yet they're still winning. When I say lately, just the last 4 or 5 games. I think they're interesting to me.
No, David, I like where you're going here, and it's so funny. It's something we've done so many pods together. I knew. I was like, I bet David's going to be like Pelicans. I'm adding 11. So I'm glad we started with them. So Zion's biggest thing over the last few seasons has been not playing. 64 games of the 64 available games, he's played 53.
Pretty so good.
That's very good in terms of just availability. They have all the elements that would suggest they can make a deep playoff run. They're long, athletic, and very good defensively in the positions you need to be. We always know about Herb Jones, of course, but Brandon's a better defender. Zion's a good defender. Valanciunas is a monster of a human trying to get around him. Good luck. Off the bench, who am I missing off the bench?
Najee Marshall.
Alvarado, who's
young. Daniels is young.
Trey Murphy can shoot threes and stretch the floor. And you mentioned Zion. He hasn't done it yet, but in a 7-game series, he could be the best player on the floor.
For sure.
And that's what you need to advance in the playoffs. Those things. And they have them. We talked about Willie Green, who you like a lot, and they love and believe in him over there in New Orleans. I mean, look, everyone's talking about, what's going on with the Wolves and this team and that team. And so talking about the Lakers and Warriors because of the star power they have, even though they're in the play-in. And I feel like they're just kind of doing that sneaky under the radar. Nobody's thinking about us. Here we are in fifth. We're just, I'll tell you what, you don't want to play them in the playoffs. I know that, right? You're just like, the Pelicans? That's going to be a tough series. I like it. I think, assuming everything goes well and everybody's healthy April.
How far are they from the third spot?
Well, glad you mentioned that. Can they get there? Yes, they can. Clippers are so they are 2.5 back of the Clippers. That's the fourth spot. They're 4.5 back of the Timberwolves. Now, they could because the Timberwolves have some problems. No Karl Anthony Towns. They've not been playing well lately. Lost
2-4 last 6.
Yeah. So it's possible.
Here's why I ask that. I think they can. I don't think it's likely. There's a lot of teams, but I think they can. And then they get to avoid the one seed in the West. And I think that matters. I really think that matters. The way the Clippers are playing lately and OKC, I wouldn't be as worried about avoiding as Denver. And that's the other question is, do you want to be at 4-5? Right, you want to be at 4-5,
possibly.
If OKC is the one, as opposed to having to play Denver as the 3 seed,
right?
So we might see some jockeying there because my guess is they'd rather play OKC than Denver.
I mean, yes. I mean, listen, we saw Denver this week, beat the best team in the league, the Boston Celtics. Right, did what they had to do. They are. Jokic is incredible. They that starting five is who they are for a reason, and they're phenomenal. And so they are the defending champs until proven otherwise. So, yes, I think people are going to start doing that. But again, as I've said before in the past, you get yourself in trouble when you start trying to Mickey around with standings and figure out, let's get into this slot and that's like, because ultimately, if you're trying to win a championship, you got to beat good people regardless. So, yeah, you know, let's avoid them. It's like, well,
yeah, okay. I hear you. I don't think it's in Willie Green's personality. It doesn't mean he.
I don't see it. Yeah, he doesn't seem like that type.
But I think that they feel like, oh, we can play anybody with what we're doing defensively collectively, because they're doing it collectively, not just individually. And like I said, last six games, they're offense number two. I haven't looked at last 10. I can. While we're talking, I'll look up like last.
And especially, David, they didn't win the series, but when they went up against the Suns, when they were the one seed, the year the Suns had the best record in the league, they had no Zion, and that was 2-2, right, in that series. And they were playing incredible. Alvarado was giving Chris Paul fits and nightmares. It was so. Really, to mention his personality, he's going to be like, we ain't scared of these MFers. Who cares? Like, let's get in there and do what we got to do.
So last 15 games, fifth on offense, first on defense, 11-4, which ranks them tied for second with the world champs, one behind Boston. This is not a team just playing well now.
Yeah.
They've been playing well. And what are they, 11 games over? How many games over 500 are they?
They are 14 games over 500.
35-21? No.
39-25.
Yeah, okay. 14 games over. Yeah. This is they're going to get 50 plus wins, and they've got two problem solvers offensively, the CJ being the third, plus the shooter and Murphy. So, they need to be.
We like them.
I think they need to be well respected right now.
I think you're dead on. All right, next team, David, say it out west. The Timberwolves, 44-21, lost two straight, 5-5 in their last 10. They're a game and a half back of the number one seed in the West, in third right now. Obviously, the Cat injury, huge. And, you know, again, as I said, it just slots everyone up a level. Have your issues with Cat, say whatever you want. But this is a 22-point-per-game, 9-rebound, 40-something percent. That doesn't grow on a tree somewhere. All right, we'll put somebody else in who can do that. Not really. Naz Reid is excellent.
What have they said, Jeff?
That it's the meniscus and he's having surgery. I mean, he's not going to be back for the regular season's end. That's for sure.
They're not going to be healthy for the postseason.
Exactly my point.
So Jerron, let me. I'm sorry to take you off course, but I need to do it. It's in my energy to do it.
Do it.
Do you know the famous story in my family of my youngest brother Mike's like 10 years old? And you ever heard of the Elks Lodge? There's like, used to sponsor a free throw shooting contest. I was in it when I was young. He won our age group and maybe won our big area. So we drive 4 hours across the state, 3 hours to a place called Fort Pierce for like the state competition. This is the finals.
I think I might have heard the story. Maybe. It sounded familiar.
You'll know in a minute when I tell you how it ends. So Mike's on the free throw. This is going to get back to Minnesota in a second, I promise. Oh, Mike, I'm up in the stands with my dad. And my brother, Mike, is brilliant at math and was then too. And we weren't stupid. It's not hard to do basic math. And there's like three rounds or whatever. And so Mike made a certain number, but he was in the final round. The guy next to him was a little ahead of him after round two. This is the third round. And I'm making up the numbers now. Let's say he's got to make 12 of 15 to beat Mike. And Mike's 10 years old, 9 years old. The kid makes the 12th one, and he's still going to shoot more, but it's over. And Michael looks at my dad sitting. I'm on the right. My dad's to my left. I remember like it was yesterday. I was 12 years old. And my dad, my son's looking at my brother's looking at my dad. And my dad gives him one of these. Thumbs down. My dad was not much to give breathe spirit in anybody. It wasn't his thing.
Crushed for 10 year old Mike.
So meanwhile, the thumbs down is a very famous thing in my family. We do it more now for jokes. We would never do it like my dad did it. So at the game Saturday, Florida State's not playing well. We're sitting, halfway up the lower section. We're playing fine. The Seminoles were playing fine. As it turns out, we end up dominating the whole second half and won pretty easily, I thought. And Max, who normally locks in on Coach Hamilton and Coach Jones coaching, I could see, I'm looking at the huddle. I can see his eyes drift up to me and we make eye contact. And he looks at me very serenely. And I give him the old thumbs down. And he breaks into laughter like that because he knows exactly what I'm doing. And because he knows the story. That's what I think of when you say Minnesota to me.
Thumbs down.
When as soon as I got the cat, because they really guard. They are a physical, long team. Oh, and Rudy Gobert is on their team too.
Correct.
Because without him, with AE and Nikhil Alexander Walker and McDaniels, and Kat's a tall man. Nas Reed's a fine defensive player. He's not elite. He's fine. Conley cares about defense. He's not great anymore, but he cares. And then they have Rudy back there, who's fucking a monster. I just don't think they believe. I don't think they believe. I think two and four. Yeah, 2-4 last six. I just don't think they believe. Kat's a problem solver on offense.
Sure, he's.
And he cares. Kat competes. That dude tries. And so, yeah, it's the old Thorpe thumbs down for me on Minnesota. Sorry about
thumbs
Minnesota.
Thumbs down. Yeah. No. I don't think you're wrong. Like, I think Ant cares.
I think they all care.
I think Ant believes. I think Ant's
Ant believes in himself.
I was just going to say, he might believe more in Ant
he should.
Than everybody.
He should, by the way, believe more in himself. That's a bad dude right there, man.
He's so good. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I would want you never to be friends with me if I was critical of him as a first pick in the draft prospect because he was played so lazily at Georgia and then now didn't realize he's one of my favorite players in the world. He was just bored. He was so much better than all these guys, but he made a move the other day where he's attacking downhill. This is a large man, by the way. He's not 6'6", 180.
Right.
It's a big, powerfully built linebacker looking defensive end dude. And he's flying, but he's able to quickly just make an adjustment and blow by his guy. And just most guys look like him can't do that.
Yeah.
And he does it effortlessly.
Yeah.
Yeah. He plays the right way. He shoots some bad shots sometimes, but he's 22, I think.
Yeah, he's very young.
He's a young dude. Right. Yeah, he's special. I don't think their team is special. Not this year.
And I think you're right. And yes, and I think it'll be highlighted. Again, we'll see. Either way, he's not going to be healthy, right, Kat? When, as you said, even because meniscus surgery, you come back. What do you think? You're going to be like back to where you were? That's not how injuries work. You don't come right back where you left off last time.
The season ended today. They're the 2 seed right now?
They're the 3 seed right now.
You said that. So that's three. So that's 3 versus 6 round one.
That's Phoenix right now.
Phoenix could beat them.
Yeah. For sure, sure.
But I think they have a hell of a chance to win with Phoenix if Kat's healthy.
Yeah, they do. Oh, for sure.
They really guard. No doubt. Yeah, they really guard.
Mm-hmm. No, it's something to keep an eye on for sure. All right, we talked about them. OKC Thunder. They are right now the number one seed. They are 45-19, winners of 3 straight, 8-2 in their last 10. We know how good Shea is. Matter of fact, we had our Best Players in the World article come out last week, and the three of us, you, myself, and Henry, are on the Shea bandwagon. We had some nice comments from our listeners in the in the comment section telling us how wrong we were about that, but we appreciate all the feedback. And, you know, as I say about the Best Player in the World, that's like a belt, man. You don't hold it in perpetuity.
Yeah,
you might have it this week. Someone might take it from you tomorrow. Like, it's just how it goes. Anyway. Look, I like what this team has. They have clearly some issues. Number one being lack of experience, and you're going to depend on a rookie starter in Chet Holmgren to be awesome in the playoffs, which could happen, but the track record of that existing in the playoffs is not very strong. You have a player in Josh Giddey who's going to be a problem in the playoffs, meaning he's going to get targeted. If he's not shooting threes well, which he hasn't really been doing, that's an issue too, because then he's like a minus for you offensively, minus defensively. And everybody else is young. Jalen Williams, everybody else on that team. That's just a young team. The only person who's got real experience is Shea and Lu Dort. And it's not like a ton of experience, but it's some.
So I think Josh is the key. He's been playing much better lately. I think he shot really well the other day. I just don't know how it translates to the postseason this year. And it's defensively is a big problem for him, I think, potentially. I happen to think having playoff experience matters. I think if you have played a lot of really big college games, that can help. there just is, it's really a punch in the face. That the stress, we were talking today on our call, how quiet NBA crowds are until the postseason. Yep. And then it's a thing. And so I don't think teams are afraid to play Oklahoma City in the postseason this year. If they don't change the way they play, I could see them not being fun to play in future years. But right now, I just think that they're inexperienced. And right. I do think it's going to matter. But it'd be silly to discount them. They're a well-connected group, very well-coached, great franchise. Sam does a great job running the team. Their best player is a terrific guy, great leader.
Monster.
Great player. And I think they're going to have an axe to grind, you know? I think they're going to play with edge. I do. I just don't know how well they're going to shoot it on the road. It's a concern.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, listen, and this is part of the deal, right? When you're a young team, you don't just go from we never did anything to winning championships. That's just not how this league works. Right. So they'll learn. And hopefully, which you've talked about all year, they will go in forward in the future realizing we could make a move and get that other player to pair with Shea. And we can really be something, right?
Shea as opposed Chet. To Shea and Chet,
right? Shea and Chet, yes, right. You know, so we'll see what they do there. All right, the Clippers, who were your pick to come out of the West? Let me start here first. Are they still your pick to come out of the West today?
No.
Okay. No, I figured as much.
But I'll answer that question on the last day if Kawhi's healthy.
Correct.
If everyone's healthy, I don't know. I really don't.
Right. So just I've to got be 5 clear, weeks to figure it out. Yeah, the Clippers played a game yesterday where Kawhi and Paul George both sat.
Right.
And Ty Lue actually talked about it after the game. He was like, it was a back-to-back, and it's crazy. I think they played a late evening game the night before and then a noon tip the next day. And it's just like,
shut it down.
I think Ty was like, this is crazy. We're not. And that's not even 24 hours to recover. So, no, those two were definitely not playing, and they promptly lost the game. But all things being equal, this squad is very good when healthy. And you like them for obvious reasons.
Yeah. So going back to OKC real fast, you know where they're ranked on offense last six?
Third.
Good guess. They're eight, top 10. And defensively, they're 4-2 now as a team. Where are they defensively? Is OKC.
Sixth.
They're 11th. You're not missing by a lot here because there's 30 teams, so you're only missing by
right. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, you're doing good. Yeah. The Clippers, sixth in offense. 14th in defense. Also not terrible.
No.
Especially considering who's been missing. 4-2 last six. Not, you know, they're still forming. Mm-hmm. I think that they've got to make sure Zubats is healthy and obviously their big three. And then Tyler's got to work some magic. He's got to get them playing, you know, high level defense, pragmatically figure out what works and everything. I think offensively they can be really special in the postseason.
I think too, David, the Westbrook injury is going to hurt them as well.
When is he back?
I don't know. That hasn't made it clear yet when he's going to be back. He's been such a good off the bench player for that change of pace. Can touch the paint still at this advanced age, right? And you know, not having that is problematic for them right now. So. Hopefully they'll square that away by the playoffs. We shall see. All right, guys, we'll be back after a quick break, and then we'll finish up with the remaining six teams. All right, so we talked about the Bucks, Wolves, Thunder, Clippers, 76ers.
We didn't talk about the Bucks yet.
We didn't start. Oh, that's right, because we started with the Pelicans. Okay, so let's go back to Milwaukee. So a team that kind of was struggling, right? Doc came on and was like, oh, is this the right answer? They're not doing great, whatever. Winners of 7 of their last 10. They are not catching Boston. They're 8 games back. But
no.
the two seed could be theirs. They're only a half game up on Cleveland, by the way, who has their own injury issues to worry about. But they're seeing some good things. We talked about it on our call this morning that and Henry had a great way of putting it about Dame, but he talked about Doc. He's like, you know, Doc's a talker. He's like, we come in, we start practice, and 20 minutes, we'll start practice. Right? Doc's still talking about defensive schemes, all these different things that we're running. And so we've talked about Doc on here. Doc at one point was a great coach. We are sure he is not put in the same requisite level of grinding to continue to be that. He's an old man now. He's in his 60s, right? So he's probably like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Careful.
but you know, if a team didn't like the previous coach for whatever reason, right or wrong, but you have a new coach in place who, regardless of if he's good or not, they're okay with him being present. That is, as you said on our call this morning, addition by subtraction. And that may be where they are with Doc right now.
All right. So let's talk about the old man comment first. I'm in the hotel room this weekend, and we had two bedroom, you know, suite. So my daughter could have her own room. She comes out dressed with one of my son's former teammates' jerseys, which I thought was pretty cool. Nice. One of his old roommates, Cleveland Yates. And I walk out of my room so my wife can finish getting ready. And I've got my shirt tucked in, the belt on. I'm trying to look, you know, decent. And I said, not bad for an old man, huh? She's like, Dad, you are not an old man. I said, Rachel, I'm 16 years. She's like, okay, then you can be an old man. So in my final year of not being an old man, I did get my, for the first time ever, I went ahead and signed up for AARP. So boom. I got that. Listen, going for me.
Take all those discounts, yeah. My guy. All of them.
I'm going to. So, all right. Man, if Doc has made a transformation, I'll be happy to see it. I don't think I'm done learning and getting better. Maybe he and James just weren't on the eye to eye last year when it mattered. Mm-hmm. He talked too much, in my opinion. Maybe that pissed James off. Maybe it doesn't piss off Dame quite as much.
For now.
I think that's fair. He's put some stuff in for Dame. I have not seen it, but I've read about it. Mm-hmm. Some of the old Terry Stotts stuff, which, by the way, that worked out really good. So Dame's playing well. And Giannis is incredible.
Yes.
So I think Henry's one who said, you know, not liking Adrian Griffin mattered. So, sure. Right? So this morning. Yeah, so maybe it is addition by subtraction, like you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, and, look.
I did not think they had a chance to win a championship this year. I still would not think it's likely. It's unfair to say. I wouldn't say it's 0% chance.
No.
Yeah. Maybe I have before, I wouldn't say that now.
We said a million times, with Dame and Giannis playing well, you can win any playoff series you're in. If it's one thing Doc has been historically good at, and it was an issue in Philly, Doc is a charismatic guy and tends to connect with star players, right? Relatively well. So if he, for whatever reason, has got Dame and Giannis on board, that really all that matters. If those two are good, well, I think everybody else is going to be good. So we'll see. Again, it's only been, I don't know, 15, 20 games Doc's been there. So we'll see like where this all nets out at the end. But, you know, it's something that bears watching. All right. The 76ers. They are 36-28, 4-6 in their last 10. They are dangerously close, David, to dropping out of the top six in the East. Yep. They're only a half game above Indiana.
Right. Lost now. To New York yesterday?
Beat New York in a game that set offensive basketball back 1,000 years. I think 70-something points was like the high on both ends. They're going to get Joel Embiid back at some point. Embiid said it, but like Cat, it's not like he's not going to come back and be the 40-point, 20 dominating dude he was on day one like he was.
Right. That guy was the best player in the world.
Without question.
Yeah, over Shea.
Yep.
Over Jokic. Over
Jokic, everybody.
The guy we saw this year was just absolutely, he was Jokic unguardable wise offensively, but better on defense. So he was better on defense. Yeah. Yeah. But he won't be that guy almost for sure. Very, very small chance of that. Yeah.
And so, I mean, they could forget about, like, they could just drop out of the top six completely. And then all bets are off if you're in that play-in round, because I don't know what's going to happen down there. It's a mixed mosh of teams. You got Miami's down there. Chicago's down there. Atlanta's down there. I mean, Orlando could drop as well, along with Philly down there. I mean, the Knicks could even, too. The only teams I would say safe from dropping into the play-in are obviously Boston, Milwaukee, and Cleveland. Everybody else is a game and a half above that seven line.
It's really the clusterfuck.
Yes, that's exactly the word. And really for Philly, David, as much as we love Maxi, he's been great and like what Nick Nurse is doing. If there's no Joel Embiid around, this is just
curtains. Or as we like to say in Thorpe world, thumbs down.
This is Thorpe's thumb down right here. They got nothing.
I'm sorry, Dad, wherever you are. that we're making fun of you at your own expense. But his boys are not that way. We're not thumbs down kind of guys, which makes the story that much more adorable, in my opinion. But yeah, I don't see it.
No, I'm with you there. Cavaliers, they're next up. They are currently third in the East. They're only a half game behind Milwaukee for two, but they got some injury concerns. 5-5 in their last 10, 41-23. Donovan Mitchell's been out. Don't know what the timeline is for him return. Garland and Allen were out for a while. They are back.
So of your teams, mm-hmm. I want to ask you this now. We have 11 teams mm-hmm. with New Orleans. Mm-hmm. The Cavs are the worst offensive team of your 11 that you picked. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you left Boston out and Denver.
And Denver.
They're already in.
They are. Yep.
They're on the small little championship bus that we have. They're on.
Sure are.
So Cleveland's the worst offensive team of this group mm-hmm. because I think of Donovan more than anything. Mm-hmm. Want to guess where they are ranked?
Oh, number one on defense, probably.
No, offensively.
Oh. No, you said they're the worst offensive team.
No, of the 11.
Oh,
so there's teams worse than them that aren't worthy of the Gerard Hector mentioning in the podcast. So where do you think they rank, Gerard, of our 11?
Over the last 10 or just for the season?
Over just the last six. I don't care what happened in October.
Okay. 15th.
Okay. They are 24th.
God, that's bad.
Right. How many games has Donovan missed?
Six or seven? Yeah.
So, yeah. What a surprise. Because he's a bad boy, too. That dude's amazing.
Yuck. 24th.
Yeah. And they're 11th in defense. 8th in defense. So, pretty good. Okay.
That's why they're able to maintain it, because they have a top 10
defense. They're 3-3 last six because of that. You're right. That's right.
Good.
So, that's a thumbs down for Cleveland. Yeah. Well, when Donovan comes back, all bets are on.
They'll be fine.
Yeah, they'll be really good.
And they...
Because they were playing so good.
And he's back and he's healthy. And we talked about this before. They are ready now, or it's going to be a disappointing season for them if they go to the playoffs again and lose in round one.
Correct.
It's win around now time.
Correct.
For Cleveland, assuming they're healthy.
Correct.
All right. This team, look, we know they have a coaching problem, but they have arguably.
Are you talking about Dallas?
Of course. They have arguably the best player in the world in Luka Doncic, although he doesn't play any defense. So for Thorpe, he is not the best player in the world.
I gave him a chance, Gerard.
Gave him a huge chance, but you got to
make his choice. I made mine.
They are 8th right now, 36-28. The West is also a cluster. So between Phoenix, who's 6th, and the Warriors, who were 10th, that is a 3.5 game spread. So anybody can move around in that realm there. Kyrie's been playing well offensively, as has Derek Lively's been good. The Gaffer pickup's been good. We like all that stuff. Timmy Hardaway Jr. off the bench. Yeah. Oh, that's great. If the team doesn't learn how to play some defense, I don't care. It's not going to matter.
When they made the trade, I declared them winners of the trade deadline and wrote that they could have the best offense in the league, the rest of the season. Well, I've not looked it up since the trade, but I've looked it up in the last six games where they are 3-3, like a lot of these teams are. Third in offense. Third.
Probably 30th in defense.
So they're not 30th over six games, but they're the worst of the 11 teams. You want to guess where they're ranked? They're not 30th.
Okay. 20th.
Worse. Try it again.
26th.
Worse.
Good. 29th?
Yes.
I mean, you might as well be last, but okay.
Right. Yeah. Last six. So the 3-3, despite the 29th defense. Their offense is amazing. No surprise.
Right. That's why they're there, because they can't guard for shit.
They just aren't guarding. They're just not strategizing. Whatever it is, it's not happening for them. And I'm just waiting for the next shoe to drop. Who's going to be the next coach in Dallas?
Which is who? Here's a question for you: who would you put in that spot to be head coach of the Dallas Mavericks?
I mean, you can't hire Udoka. He's already said,
because he would challenge Luka to be better on that end, and I think so. Would get through to him.
I think so. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a European at this point. They're going to, I wouldn't be surprised if Luka picks his next coach.
Got it.
Yeah. I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised at that.
This is what happens when you get to the stage of the NBA. Yeah. David, a team that's concerning me are the Sacramento Kings and their uneven play. 6-4 in their last 10. 36-27. This was a darling team last year in many ways. Elite offensively, not great on defense, but you know, went seven games.
No, bad on defense.
Bad on defense. Went great. Went seven games with the Warriors in round one last year in a great series. But they've just been so uneven this year, just not really being able to get on like a nice little run or roll. And I'm sure a lot of it has to do with their inability to play elite defense. They can score, but the offense even still wasn't as good as it was last year because they were number one or two in offense last year, if I'm not mistaken. They're not quite that this year. Sacramento Kings.
When you were just defining that, I was thinking you did a good job of making this list. And I look at these, you know, these last six games these teams have played. A team like Boston is first or second in offensive rating, defensive rating over the last six games, last 15. They're just playing at a high level. Sacramento's defense is 26th the last six games. And I think they have unsolvable problems based on their roster. I don't like Keegan Murray next to Sabonis. From a defensive standpoint, I like it offensively.
I agree.
Because he's love it. Since Sabonis isn't a three-point shooter and Murray is, I like what you can do. But to me, you have to have what Jabari Smith is to Şengün. Young, long, athletic, potential shot blocker. And then offensively, anyone can play with Şengün, just like anyone can play with Sabonis. Mm-hmm. So defensively, they're just too flawed. I just think they're stuck.
Yeah, no, the point you made about their 4-5 combo is dead on. It's accurate. Yeah, it just doesn't have, and Şengün Smith, that's brilliant, right? That works, right?
I love it. Let's hope he's okay.
Oh, yeah. So for those of you that don't know, Şengün got hurt last night in a game against the Kings.
It looked really bad.
Oddly enough. Yeah, got taken off in a wheelchair. So who knows what's happening there? You mentioned Boston really quickly at a high level. They're not on this list because they're in the front seat with Denver and our championship bus. I will say this, David. Do you know that they've only lost back-to-back games twice all season? Once early in November.
Yeah.
And then just recently this past week when they lost to Cleveland and then to Denver.
Yeah, had not slouches. Happened.
And that is teams that tend not to go on long losing streaks in the regular season, that's a good sign for the postseason.
They just really they're going to win the championship. Yeah. They've just got so many good players. They're so locked in. Bye, honey. My wife's leaving. They're so locked in and professional. Yeah, it's spring break for this week. They just have they've got a championship vibe, man. They just do.
They sure do.
I'm not saying they'll roll through the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to be playing yet. If they did, I wouldn't be surprised because they are, as someone who does talk to teams, players who have to play them, there's no – it's like finding the weakness in the Death Star. Like,
good luck.
It's just not easy. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. And that just seems so connected. I'm really sounds the wrong way, but I'm not friends with a lot of them. I'm very impressed with the way Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown lead the team. Brad Stevens, Joe, what he's been able to do as a second year coach. Really a hell of a franchise right now. If you're a Boston fan, you should be really proud of your team.
David, they are committed to what they do and how they play on both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
I've watched them closely the last three games, and which happened to be two losses and a win, but still, it doesn't matter. What we love about them on defense rings true. They don't double anyone ever because they don't have to. And it's phenomenal. I'm like, this makes you so much better because you can get rebounds. You can do all these other things that other teams that have to double are in scramble mode. They're never in scramble mode unless, you know, it's a fast break. And then sometimes happens to every NBA team. But in the half court set, not a lot of that. And my God, threes galore. Always, 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 always. Somebody touches the paint. I'm like, shit, here it comes. Backdoor three. Somewhere's going to be wide open. And sure enough, they are. When you believe in what you are, on both. Now, look, you can still lose believing in what you are. We've seen it happen a million times. But there's a certain way you go into games where you know this is who we are, this is what we do. And I just see that with this team. And you know,
gotta keep those guys healthy.
That's really it. That's their number one
thing. Gonna be able to be done, I think, because they're not gonna have to play that much those last 10 days.
that this 8-game lead they have on a second place team is, and again, we talk about this, the regular season is so long, but this is why if you take the regular season seriously, as Boston has, this allows them the ability to, all right, we can rest guys now. When other teams, we mentioned before, everybody else is going to be jockeying because they could fall out of the play-in or whatever. So this will be big for them.
If you're, speaking of a team. If you're Celtics fans, get used to watching the deep bench and two-way players because they're coming. And they're good, by the way. Sure. They're good.
And look, they might find something there for sure. The Miami Heat is a team that, you know, I was like, oh, look out for the Heat. Look out for the Heat. And it's not that I don't believe in that. I'm more of a, I get it. That's what they've done, right? Two finals trips in the last 4 years, three conference finals. But it's like the stock market, right? Past performances do not indicate future results. Like, sure, they did that. That doesn't mean they're necessarily going to do that again this year. And they're in that play-in range, David. And defensively, they're fine. They're eighth overall in defense. But they stink on offense. I just, like, and I don't know. It could all turn around come playoff time. Spo's a master. I'm giving him all the credit in the world. But I don't know. I'm not a believer right now.
They're confounding. We thought Jimmy had turned a corner and was, you know, the proverbial flipping a switch and whatever. Meanwhile, right.
Playoff Jimmy, all that stuff.
Right. Meanwhile, they're 2-4 last six games.
Correct.
They are 16th on offense. 16th on defense.
All right. Middle like, back.
Just boring. They haven't figured out a few things. Kevin Love's been out a little bit, and that he was, you know, helping them because of his shooting, his veteran leadership. They can't get on a streak right now. So
no,
they were playing better, but they're still 3-3 in the last six. Like I said, they're no streak, and really bad loss to the Wizards yesterday.
Yes, for sure. And look, yes, I get it. There's like the demons. If the Bucks see the Heat on the opposite side of right. them, sure,
maybe
all that. Maybe, but my thing is, who are you now, and what are you playing like currently? And right now, if I'm Milwaukee and playing the way I am, and I see this Heat team, I'm not like, oh shit, they're gonna kick our ass. Like, I just don't see it. We'll see what happens come postseason. All right, last team on the list, a team we loved watching all year, the Indiana Pacers. They are currently in seventh place. They're a half game behind Philly. They're 36-29, 6-4 in their last 10. You know, we talked about Halliburton, right? Healing Halliburton, getting him kind of back together and back on his grind. Pascal Siakam's been a new addition, has been great for them, but there's some, you know, they've been a little wobbly of late too, a little uneven. Now, look, we didn't expect anything great from this team because they're young. So them making the playoffs is win,
right?
That's already the win. So my thing is, I hope they're able to. I would like them to get back into that sixth line and make the playoffs and not have to deal with playing. That if they do that, to me, successful season, game over.
I'm sure they feel the same way. But for now, Gerard, it's thumbs down.
Thumbs down. They're not. Yeah.
I'm not. Yeah, they just I've not been happy with Miles Turner inside. He's not finishing with force. Neesmith's shot selection suspect to me. Bad. Mathurin's now out for a while.
Out for the season, I think.
I think that's a positive for them. He's been really good this year. He puts up numbers, but they're empty numbers. They're better when he's off the court by far. So TJ McConnell's played well. Nembhard's played well. Siakam actually's played well. Tyrese up and down a little bit. That's really the big story to me is can he reach his all-NBA level play again, whether he makes it or not, because he's put enough games separate.
Right.
Can he reach that level? I don't know. We'll have to see.
And that's that's how this team is constructed, right? If he is not playing all NBA level, they're just not going to be.
They are. Thumbs down. If he's not cooking. Yeah.
Yeah. And so hopefully he gets whatever need that he needs to help fix whatever ails him. Hopefully he gets that and they turn things around towards the end of the season here. All right, David. Something interesting happened on Friday. The Timberwolves were playing the Cavaliers? I think it was Cavaliers. And Rudy Gobert received the foul call that he thought was questionable. It was his sixth foul, so it made him disqualified from the game. And he flashed the money sign. If those of you who are not watching and listening, I'm doing the international sound when you're rubbing your fingers together, cash, whatever. Exactly. And Natalie Sago, who wasn't the official he was doing it to, I don't believe, saw that, and she teed him up. And you know, rightfully so, right? After the game, he said, that was an immature way for me to handle that. I should have done that. I take responsibility. That was wrong.
Good.
And that was correct on him. However,
nevertheless,
referees make mistakes too. But sometimes I think it's more than mistakes. I think that everyone that's in this league knows. I think it's got to get better. I think it's hurting our game. I know the betting and all that is becoming bigger and bigger, but it shouldn't feel that way. And David, when I saw those, I was like, oh, Adam Silver, don't like that out there. That is not good.
Wow. And
the reason why I say that is because this. You and I know, you talk to players all the time, as do I, not as deeply as you do. They are already annoyed with officials as it is because of their lack of consistency in making calls.
Yep.
Is it a foul or is it not? Is it? How come you change your mind every other play? It's different. So that's already got them ticked to begin with.
Right.
Add on top of that, if a player thinks a referee is up to nefarious things,
right,
this is not what the league wants. And right. I will add, when the league had its referee scandal with Tim Donaghy, and late Commissioner David Stern came out and said, oh, no, nothing to see here, right? We did our investigation.
Right. There's
just one rogue official, Tim Donaghy. Nobody else is to blame. David, I mean, he's no longer alive now. But if I were talking to him, really? He talked to Scott Foster literally multiple times a day. And you are telling me he was the only person, nobody else remotely attached to anything. Come on, man. Just don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining, right? We know some things here, right? And so the league, with the influx of all this gambling money, this is a problem, David. And the integrity of the game cannot be seen to be called into question. Because if that happens, trust is already eroded, right, between fans and leagues. If this happens and it gets any kind of groundswell, league's in trouble.
All right. So first of all, as a child of a lawyer, I am not ready to say that it was anything beyond Tim Donaghy. You can say whatever you want. Only because, like, there's one or two guys I talk to 3 to 5 times a day. We talk about our businesses. And if it turned out one of them ended up getting arrested right. for some pretty shady shit,
you'd be the first one they look at because you talk to them frequently.
Oh, I would definitely get a phone call. And I would have right. to tell them, I'm sorry. Here's our text
message. I don't know what you're talking about.
But I have no idea. That being said, I mean, you're onto something here. That there is real concern. I'm real concerned. The connection to gambling, the inconsistency with the calls, they're already upset. It's this won't be the last fine we see, I don't think. Yeah,
no,
we don't.
And I was actually surprised that Rudy kind of did that. Like in that moment, I was like, whoa.
He's frustrated.
Because my thing is, if he said what he said, as he said after the game, he's not the only player who thinks that way.
Yeah.
It's got to be more. They may not say it. Like, and Rudy said it out loud. They may keep it to themselves, but they got to be thinking it.
Yeah.
And this, you know.
Well, look guys. At it this way. If you are open to the idea that certain star players get better treatment over the non-star players, then you can necessarily make the leap to the league being more open to the Knicks having a better seed than the Pacers. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about here, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And this is Adam Silver wants no part of this. Like, he does not want, this is not the story and the things they want out there. And unfortunately, when you take in so much cash in these gambling companies, and look, I understand the league is a for-profit business. They have to make money. And these are the people who are flush with cash. I get it. I mean, every podcast in the world takes gambling money. We don't. But I mean, and that's not, I'm not saying that to be like, we're better than everybody. That's not what I'm saying. But everyone does. So I get it. But at some point, it's going to obscure and the lines are just blurred now. And now it's like, well, so what's legit and what's not? And every single thing you see on every major show is like, okay, what's your 3-game parlay tonight? And it's like, all right. I mean, it's everywhere. It really is. And I just think that this is, you know, we talk about unintended consequences, right?
Yeah.
Short-term gain is we need the money. Okay, get that. What's this going to look like 5-10 years from now? Nobody knows. I'm going to posit probably nothing good is my guess.
I'm going to posit that too.
All right, folks. We will see you all on Thursday. Take care.